We can observe an interesting dynamic that could be described perhaps as something like that. The only good that I'm capable of seeking to bestow onto others would be the good that I seek to bestow onto myself. What are some simple examples? What is the good that a mother hen can look to bestow onto her chicks, onto the eggs? It's to be a mother hen, right? To sit on the eggs and then whatever, after birth, maybe lead them around and peck around and they can watch and learn how to peck, whatever the case might be. The mother hen cannot teach her chicks, right, and seek to benefit them by teaching them a language or whatnot, or teaching them how to fly like an eagle, right? On the contrary, an eagle would seek to benefit its young in the way that an eagle benefits its young. And just so with a fish, and just so with every animal, and just so with us. First of all, I look to pursue my own good as I understand it. From there, either to me, you are a not self, in which case, you know, I can relate to you transactionally or not care about you at all. So, for example, you're just a stranger or you're a customer, so I temporarily have to indulge your desires, give you what you want, this or that. Or I view you as myself, as an extension of myself, in which case I seek to benefit you as I benefit myself. So, for example, let's say that my conception of the good is intimately tied in with the pursuit of money, finances, right? Being financially secure. The good life is being pretty wealthy and financially stable. Now, as it concerns other people, either, again, to me, you're not really me. You're nothing, right? You're just the passerby, or you're perhaps a rival, or you're just kind of an acquaintance or a customer that I have to, again, deal with for the moment, or you're me. You're an extension of me, such as my children. Now, insofar as I grant that you're me, I have to look to do good unto you as I do unto me, myself, and I. It seems to be logically necessary. Either I withdraw the status of selfhood from someone, in which case I don't pursue the good of that self, or I don't. And that includes oneself. Right? If I get very depressed and traumatized, for example, I may cease to pursue my own good, right? What I call myself. I no longer maybe care to earn more money. In this case, in this example, I'm just lying around. Now I begin to pursue my own good. I begin to view myself as a self. And from here, as it concerns others, are you also myself? In which case I have to seek to bestow good onto you? Or are you not really myself? Again, say you're my child and I view you now as myself. Well, then my highest wish for you, being who I am and with my conception of good, is for you to be wealthy. And that's probably what I'm going to push you toward. If then we grow apart and now I view my child as a rival or as a threat, or I just don't really care about them anymore, well then, I've withdrawn that status of selfhood from them, and I no longer pursue their good, my conception of good, as it concerns them. Say now, my highest ideal is education. The good life concerns good grades and good schooling and so forth. Either you're my not self, in which case, you know, hi, how are you, goodbye, or you are myself. Again, the basic example is children, but it can also be other particular situations. I care about somebody as a mentor, as a friend, all of that. Right now, being that I view you as myself, I seek to bestow the good onto you, as I understand it. I want my children to be educated. My highest good, my conception of the good is to be a farmer, is to work the land. Are you myself or not myself? You're somebody that's just passing through town. You're not myself. I'm certainly not going to try to convince you to be a farmer. Why would I do that? My kids, they are myself right now. And therefore, I want them also to be farmers. The good life is the farm life. You ought to be a farmer. Same dynamic. Maybe now you don't want to be a farmer. You offend me. Okay, do whatever you want. Goodbye. I expel you from my sense of self. I'm no longer trying to bestow the good onto you as I understand it to be. The good life is one where I have job security. It's not necessarily about being wealthy. It's not about anything specific. I just want a stable income, you know, not too big, not too small. That's really the good. Everything is secure. Everything is calm. Same dynamic. I might be shrunken down to myself. I'm just living the childless, single life. And then I'm applying the good to myself. And insofar as I don't get depressed and I don't withdraw from myself as well. Now, somebody else is in my life who I conceive of as myself. That's my dream for you too. Right? Have a stable job and have some security and so forth. I'm a musician. The highest good is music. My highest dream for those that are myself is for them to be musicians. So we get the idea. Basically, the abstracted dynamic would seem to be that I have a conception of the good life, and that conception applies to whatever person I deem to be myself. First of all, it's the person that looks back at me in the mirror, the body that I operate, the mind that is mine. I can withdraw even that immediate person from my selfhood. And consequently, again, get depressed and disassociated and just do nothing to pursue my own self-interest. If I haven't done that, and I'm pursuing the good, as I understand it, concerning my immediate person, my immediate personhood, then as it concerns other such personhoods, the question is, are you me or are you not me? If you're not me, then whatever the given dynamics are, again, I need to treat you well as a customer, or I don't care about you, or you don't exist for me, or whatever the case might be. If you are me, then I begin to strive for your good as I strive for my own good. The sort of good that I understand. The sort of good that I take to be the good. So, with some of those dynamics in mind, which surely perhaps certain shades of gray and perhaps even exceptions might be found, but those seem to be fairly substantive abstractions. With those things in mind, what are some lessons that can be learned? One lesson perhaps to be learned would be that it behooves me to continually strive for a greater and broader and deeper and truer vision of what is the good life and of what is the good, because that is the only good that I can pursue as it concerns, again, my immediate personhood and other persons as well. I cannot truly pursue any other good other than the good that I understand. And if you tell a small child to take care of, let's say, a younger sibling or even a doll, then how will the child take care of the younger sibling or the doll? Well, it's based on my conception of what is good. For example, I like to be fed with a spoon, so I'm going to feed my baby sibling with a spoon. I like to be held, so I'm going to hold my baby sibling, right? Or the doll, right? I like to be bundled up and tucked in, so that's what I'm going to do, right? That's all I can do. Either I'm mad at you and my baby sibling, and now I don't want to do anything for you. You're no longer me, or you are me. You're a part of me. And now I'm going to bestow the good onto you that I understand. That is what I take to be good relative to myself. So as I grow older, I have a different conception of the good, I'd say. Again, I'm in school. The good is good grades. Either I don't like you, so I don't care. I'm not going to help you get good grades. Or I do like you. Oh, let me help you get good grades. The good is being good at sports. I don't like you. Well, too bad. I do like you. Why don't you join the sport that I'm playing and let me help you, and so forth. And so forth and so on. I can only look to bestow the good unto you that I understand it to be. So, therefore, I want to continually, as was mentioned, seek to upgrade my understanding of what is good. What is closer and closer to my true and highest good. We see on the face of it some obvious distinctions. Let's say that my conception of the good life is something like, you know, I have to be very well dressed. The highest good in life is to look very smooth and suave and have fashionable clothing. It's a good. It's nice to be well dressed. Can this really be a final good? Can this good withstand any sort of real scrutiny as to life, right, and how life works, and the facts of life, and the facts of suffering, and death, and our true desires, and our true needs? Well, maybe not, right? So it's a childish conception of the good. Right? It's not that it's bad, but it's not the final, most mature version of what is good. But the same dynamics would apply. Either I care about myself and then I try to look good and be well dressed. I get depressed. I stop trying to look good and dress well. Now I'm not depressed. I'm back to it. And then are you me? In that case, say my kids, I'm going to try to dress you up very well. You're not me. I don't care about you. Then whatever. All right. But what I want to do here, upgrade that version of the good. Maybe the good also includes not only dressing well, but it includes something that touches upon some other human potentiality, such as working a little bit on my mind, right? Maybe it also includes working on my character. Maybe it includes being a little bit more honest. We say that the truer, deeper, broader, more real good, one, it stands to reason, touch upon those broad human potentialities. If my vision of the good doesn't include the development of my uniquely human attributes, such as mind, such as character, such as morality, then it is, at best, a childish version of the good. Right? And at worst, it can really be detrimental. Right? My version of the good is being an internet troll and hurting lots of people and so forth and so on. We see on that note, interestingly enough, right? Even such blatantly destructive visions of the good. If I now view you as me, then we're going to try to do it together. We'll both be internet trolls. We'll both be destructive arsonists. We'll both be various perverted, sick people, this or that. All right, it's the same dynamic even here, interestingly enough. All right, so better conception of the good ought to touch upon those human potentialities, and it ought to kind of point away towards me becoming everything that I can be as an individual, as a human being. Obviously, it's not such a conception of the good isn't something that you pluck off the shelf or order off the internet, right? Let me just, download this or something. It's something that develops over time. But with goodwill, with humility, with an openness to truth, wherever I find it, wherever I hear it, whatever life teaches me, hopefully that conception of the good will again become increasingly refined, increasingly mature, and increasingly actual, as in truly able to satisfy me and lead me to my own true good, and not just apparent good, such as the titillation of my pride or of my vanity or of simply feelings, be they of safety, security, comfort, whatever the case might be. And the good thing would be that, as was mentioned, I have to necessarily look to pursue the good of whoever I take to be myself, of whoever I take to be truly real. It seems to be a matter of definition. Right, so, if I improve my conception of the good, right, I mature it and I make it, again, truer, deeper, broader, all of that. And then, further, I take in more people into my sense of self. It's not just me, right? I'm not just the lone wolf. Also my family and also my friends and also my neighbors and also people I meet and society and so forth, then I will be by necessity working towards the good, as I understand it, of any and all such persons. And I don't need then any kinds of external rules that contradict my own desires. For example, you have to not steal from this person. I would steal from them, but because I don't want to get in trouble, I won't do it. No, if I have a proper conception of the good that I'm working towards as it concerns myself, and then I consider you to be real as well, I don't want to steal from you. I want to benefit you. I want to do good unto you. Right? Just like most mothers don't need to be told, oh, you need to take care of your baby. Right? I don't want to, right? But you need to. It's the law. Right? Most parents want to, right? It's me. It's an extension of me. I'll do anything for my baby. So just so, if I take in more people into my sense of self, right, and don't view you as the not-self, which is the ethical condition of the savage, right, of the untutored individual that views simply, first of all, his or her own immediate self, right, and perhaps some other members of the tribe, this and that. Those are the only real people. That's where the self is, right here. Everybody else is the not-self. That tribe over there, they're not real. They're not like us. They're not truly existent individuals, right? The rest of the world, that's not us. Well, that's a savage state of mind. That's very primitive. We want to get to a state of mind where that other tribe is also me, is also myself, and so is that other group over there, and so is everybody else. And when I see everybody else as a part of myself, whatever vision of good that I have developed and that I'm working towards as it concerns my immediate personhood, I will naturally seek to bestow on any and all without any external impositions or rules or laws or anything like that. And that's a good deal. So we can think about it. Thank you for listening.